Adams, Adamley, Adamowski, Bueller, Burns, Burns, Burns. Joe, where are you going with that mic in your hand?
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
So she wrote to Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and said, we have to get rid of this filthy song. Well, instead of Kennedy saying, ma'am, go home and parent your child, he takes it to the head of the FBI.
Class is in.
This is the Rock School Radio Show here on the Rock School Radio Network. My name is Joe Burns. You are?
Tammy Burns.
Now, look, we are going to be a little bit late with today's topic because I had three great interviews the past three shows. But before we get to today's topic, I would like to invite you to go and listen to an album, my album. Every so often, I decide to put out an album, and this past Christmas, I got a wild hair and decided to put one out. It's a lot of stuff I've already recorded, and then stuff I recorded over the break. If you would go listen to it, you would make me the happiest, giddiest little person on the planet. In order to find it, go to any of your favorite streaming services and search Joe Burns Tools of the Trade. Once again, Joe Burns Tools of the Trade. Spotify has got it, and Pandora's got it, and Apple Music has got it, and blah, 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 blah. It's in all the streamings. Once again, Joe Burns, Tools of the Trade. Go ahead, tell me what you think of it, unless you hate it. And if you hate it, shut up.
So I like it.
We'll probably be talking about it.
I think it's pretty good.
Do you think it's pretty good?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Everything's in major. All right, what are we talking about? Well, the Grammys. Now, we have a thing on 7 days and 70 seconds about Public Enemy skipping the Grammys, and I thought about doing an entire show about rock groups that skipped the Grammys. However, something happened at these past Grammys that has happened so many times during the world of music, and I thought it needed to be spoken of. This guy named Sam Smith, now you probably know him because he was this crooner singing very pretty songs and such. Well, Sam Smith hooked up with a person named Kim Petras, and they did a hit called Unholy. So what they did was at the Grammys, because they were up for the Grammy Best Pop Duo Group Performance, which, by the way, they won.
Really?
Yeah, they won the thing.
Go figure.
They decided, because it's called Unholy, to go ahead and light the whole stage red. They put Kim Petras inside of a cage, and she strutted around. And they had all of these dancers in really weird costumes, and they were doing very sexual movements. And Sam Smith, who could seriously start considering salads, was in something revealing, and he was wearing devil horns and all of that. And the people who get upset at that stuff went ballistic.
Boom.
It was stated that there was a satanic ritual performed on stage.
No, they did not.
Well, when you say something like that, the first thing I do is go, okay, what was the ritual? Because, I mean, if we're going to talk satanic and all that, let's talk religion and all that. Isn't communion a ritual?
Right.
Right? There's a specific idea. This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. Okay, fine. If it's a satanic ritual, what was the ritual? What did they do? Well, I didn't watch the Grammys. I basically record it because I want to see a couple performances. I watched Lizzo, and I sped through this. But I went back and I looked at it. And it looked like just a bunch of people writhing around for 3.5 minutes. Okay, fine.
Right.
What was the ritual?
Okay, what was it?
I don't know. I can't find one. According to TMZ, David Harris, the magister for, and you're going to think I'm making this up, but please look it up. David Harris, magister for the Church of Satan. Did you know there was such a thing as
yes,
the Church of Satan?
Where,
where is that? Is that down on Main Street?
Oh, it's California.
Oh, is it California?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He stated there was absolutely nothing like that. There was no such thing as a ritual. In fact, he said Sam and Kim's performance was all right and, quote, nothing particularly special. He did, however, say if you'd like to see something that's much more proactive in the world of Satan, apparently, than what Sam and Kim did, at least in a satanic sense, go look at the video for Montero by Lil Nas X.
What?
He said, oh, we're a fan of that here at the church. What is it again?
Church of Satan.
Yes, Church of Satan. So, yeah, there was nothing there. Okay, so what is this? This is something that has happened in music from the get-go. And I'm going to tell you what it is, and we're going to take this entire hour, and we're going to talk about how this is done again and again and again. Did people really think there was a satanic ritual? No. They thought something different. But what words can we use to scare parents? Well, let's throw Satan in there.
Boo?
Yeah, that's a good one.
How about
one.
The word boo?
Boo won't do it. That's a ghost.
How about if Elvis is doing it?
Oh, yeah, well, that might be workable. Let's say ritual.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so look, here's Sam Smith and Kim Petras. This is Unholy, the song that won the Grammy. It doesn't have a punch if you're not looking at everything bathed in red. Why does red do it? Is it because, I guess, hell is red? I don't know. So does that mean that because the Super Bowl was won by a team that wears predominantly red, Satan was all about it? This is something that happens too often. I'll tell you what it is. Here you go. This is Sam and Kim. It's Unholy on Rock School. Okay, I've reached behind me and picked up my guitar because I want to start talking about this idea that Satan and the devil is in music that you don't like. You want to hear something else about that Sam Smith performance?
Yes, yes, yes.
The thing was, immediately after the performance, the next commercial was Pfizer.
Oh.
For some pharmaceutical, I don't even remember.
Right.
I should have looked at that. This somehow sealed the deal.
Mm-hmm.
People were putting up on Twitter that, well, I thought it was satanistic, and then Pfizer came up, and that sealed it.
Yes, it did.
As if I'm supposed to go, oh, yes, yes. What are you talking about? Look, what's happening here? What's happening here is that this idea of Satan, and look, I don't care for the song. I don't care really what they're doing. I don't, nah. But on the same aspect, I don't think it's going to change society. And I think that is what scares people. Usually a new form of music coming out that attempts to alter society in one way or another. And this idea of Unholy, some people are pointing out that Kim Petras is a trans woman. Okay, I don't know that that's going to send the whole society that way. Well, he's talking about being loose, I guess, isn't that word we used to use in high school? Be you know, sexually open to the whole schmeal. Does that mean everyone's going to run out to sex camps or something? When people get afraid of the society being changed, the quickest thing to do is to go ahead and change the argument that this music is of the devil.
Right, right.
This is nothing new. Back in 1725, you might have heard this interval. Listen. That interval, some people call it the augmented fourth or the diminished fifth, is called the diablos in musica. It was believed that if you played that interval in a church, that it could summon the devil. Now, what's funny about it is people immediately grabbed onto it. You know the theme from The Simpsons?
Uh-huh.
The Diablos in Musica is the first two notes of The
really?
Simpsons.
Really?
If you know YYZ mm-hmm. by Rush. That is also the Diablos in Musica.
There it is again.
And it was believed that the devil lived in that. And what's funny is we say all the time we're so much more advanced. There's no way that we people today could believe that a song could summon the devil.
Stop it. You're creeping me out.
Yeah, trying to bring the devil around.
Did you hear
that? Oh, did the devil show up?
He's at the door.
What was interesting as well, in the 18th century, there was a composer and a violinist who was spectacularly successful named Giuseppe Tartini. The thing about Giuseppe Tartini is he had detractors that couldn't stand that he was so successful. So the story is created that Giuseppe, and by the way, he accepted the story because it just made him more popular. He accepted the story that his trill sonata, known as the Violin Sonata in G Minor, should be called the Devil's Trill Sonata. The story went that the devil appeared to Giuseppe in a dream, and Giuseppe looked at him and the devil said, "I am the devil." And
uh-oh.
Giuseppe said, "Prove it." And the devil said, "The horns and the hooves and the tail aren't enough. Okay, give me your violin." So he played this thing, which has been called the Devil's Trill Sonata. Look, it just means it's difficult. And it is. Interestingly enough, the story goes on that if you ever heard the song exactly as the devil played it, see, luckily, Giuseppe wrote it down differently, because if you heard it as the devil portrayed it, you would become a minion of the devil forever.
Ooh.
Oh, now come on.
Ooh.
Oh, now come
no,
on.
No, I'm not listening.
Yeah, I know. Look, we got more stories about how
not listening.
Through history, all these things have some new music, devil's music, devil's music, devil's music. And this thing that happened with Sam Smith, it's the same thing. Somebody is afraid that this is going to alter society in too much of a way. And the quickest way to get people upset was to get on Twitter and say it's the devil's music. So what kind of music are we going to play today?
Some devil stuff.
How about Cliff Richard's Devil Woman?
Oh!
Yeah, now we're in trouble here on Rock School. Point out, as we kind of have a little bit of fun with this, no, I'm not pro-devil. No, I'm not pro-Satan. It's just that this is so common in the world of music. I did an entire hour lecture. You went to it.
I did.
It was called The Devil in Music.
Uh-huh.
And it had to do with all the backwards masking, which we'll get to, and all the blues stuff, and all the what have you. It no matter what it was, if the music wasn't specifically the way a certain group of people wanted it, they would immediately refer to it as the devil's music. When mountain music came out, the "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou" type stuff,
right?
It was very heavy into the violin, which they called a fiddle, actually. However, they referred to that violin as the devil's box.
Mm-hmm.
And when jazz came out, and especially rock and roll too,
yeah,
the saxophone, it was referred to as the devil's flute. Okay.
So what do you call Madonna?
I don't know. Bad plastic surgery? It gives real new meaning to her song title, "Who's That Girl?"
That's, oh,
it does. Okay,
ouch.
Let me give you one more.
There's this guy named Niccolo Paganini. My assumption is if you're a rock fan, you know Paganini as his Caprice No. 5, which was played at the end of the guitar battle in the Steve Vai / Ralph Macchio movie called Crossroads, not the Britney Spears one. Caprice No. 5 is the one he's known for. Here's about, 12 seconds of it. Now, you gotta realize that he was a violinist and a fantastically popular guy all the way back in the 19th century. He had such unbelievable skill that people didn't go, well, he obviously practiced a lot. Well, he obviously did something. No, he sold his soul to the devil. And you say, no, that's Robert Johnson of the King of the Delta Blues. Oh, no, it's not. The first that I could find was this guy Niccolo Paganini. He suffered from something called Marfan's syndrome, which gave him a very wide chest, very tall, extremely long fingers, which allowed all kinds of dexterity. It also meant he died a young man. But his ability to play using this syndrome, there are basketball players that have it as well. There's a famous actor, and I wish I could remember his name. He plays kind of the scary thing. He's very tall, very thin, and they dress him up, and he's able to walk kind of weirdly with his hands on the ground and all that.
Right.
And he's made a living out of it. Well, that's what this guy looked like. He had pale white skin and pitch black hair, and he had to multiple times either bring a letter or have the letter printed so people could read it, promising that the devil wasn't his father.
Goodness.
And when he got there, there were people that would, especially women, and I have to believe these were plants, that what they said was that he would conduct himself with the devil's face appearing on his face. Look, that's really good in terms of stories and such. And you would ask me, hey, why wouldn't the artist want to walk away from this? Think about it. How many more tickets do you think Paganini sold because people believed that the devil was going to show up at his concert?
Oh, yeah. Look at Kiss. The same story, right?
Oh, sure. Knights in Satan's Service, when it never meant anything like that. All right, we got to play something. What about the friend of the devil? Is he a friend of yours?
Who is that?
Well, it's the Grateful Dead here on Rock School.
I lit up from Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a papa, don't look like you. Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
All right, coming into the first break, jazz music, set in the 1920s. I'm going to tell you, if you think the sexual revolution was in the 1960s, you've missed it by 40 years. The sexual revolution was during jazz. It was in the 20s, the roaring 20s. That's when women got rid of their corsets and they wore slip dresses and they danced close to the men and they smoked and they took speed and they drank.
Slow down, mister.
That's where it all came about. The 60s were probably tame compared to it. And what was the music? Well, jazz. And if you want, I don't have time to get into it right here, but jazz, J-A-Z-Z, actually had to be misspelled as J-A-Z-Z because it came from the word J-A-S, jazz. And jazz had a very dirty connotation. And when you dealt with these jazz or jazz clubs, and yes, New Orleans really was the epicenter of it, what you were dealing with were places where people would go to dance close to each other, to drink, to smoke, to do all of these things.
And it really was a music that scared the out of people. The thing about it is, it took place in these juke joints. Juke means to dance. So when you're talking about a juke box, you're talking about a machine that's playing music so you can dance. There is a wonderful PBS special titled The Devil's Music, Jazz. And I'll just read something from it. Quote, as jazz popularity grew, so did the campaigns to censor, quote, the devil's music. Early detractors like Thomas Edison, inventor of the phonograph, ridiculed jazz, saying it sounded better being played backwards. Oh, Edison, you have no idea. Wait till we get into the 80s and Tipper Gore. At least 60 communities across the nation enacted laws prohibiting jazz in public dance halls. Same thing will happen with blues. Mm-hmm. Same thing will happen with rock and roll. Do you remember that idea? Hey, 10 fingers between the boys and the girls. Leave room for the Lord.
That's right.
That's right. So when you talk about this, you say, again, why would anybody want to be associated with this? Well, the person who supposedly invented jazz, and to be honest, he's a good pick, Jelly Roll Morton, he was, as a very young man, raised through the brothels of the French Quarter. And he even claimed that what he did was listened to the beds upstairs. And that's what gave him the rhythm of his music. And that was the rhythm of jazz. Is that true? I doubt it. But boy, isn't it a good story?
It's a great story.
And wouldn't you go see him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Some musics, rock and roll talks about the devil, we all lose our mind. But when you talk about the devil in, say, country music, like the devil went down to Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. If there's a bourgeois attitude
that's
some...
Well, that's because the devil's kicking somebody's butt.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
There's a bourgeois attitude that in some musics it's allowed, and in some musics it isn't. So, look, let's take a break. We'll come back. I've got a Jelly Roll Morton I'd actually like to play for you. And we maybe talk a little bit more about jazz. So who's listening to us?
KSCL, Shreveport, Louisiana.
Great. Back in a minute here on Rock School. Hey, Rock School listener, what did you do over your Christmas holiday? Well, I put out an album. I'd like you to listen to it as well. Do me a favor. Go to your favorite streaming service and type Joe Burns, Tools of the Trade. Once again, Joe Burns, Tools of the Trade. It's on every streaming service. It's 18 songs, and it's all me. And it was produced in this studio. Give a listen to it. Tell me what you think. Once again, search Joe Burns, Tools of the Trade. Thanks for listening. Another thing that was brought out inside of this Devil's Music Jazz thing, the Devil's Music Jazz from PBS, was that this was really one of the first times that music was bringing together whites and African Americans. It was just an open thing. These clubs allowed everybody. But people who were racist didn't see it as, hey, look at this. We're starting to get together here. Things are getting better. You know, no one saw it that way. Well,
right.
I'd say no one. But people who are upset about it saw it that way. And that was yet another thing for the people who wished to drive this music away in case or in place of what they considered good and decent music, the people started to bring this racial element to it. You know, in terms of marijuana, the line inside of Jimmy Buffett's pencil-thin mustache, only jazz musicians were smoking marijuana, it was an easy high. It grew next to the street, you know, compared to today, where they're cultivating it and turning it into these cush things like, hey, here comes autism, or how long has that bus been parked there?
Is there ditchweed?
Why is there no hole in this wall? You were smoking ditchweed.
It didn't have all that much, and the thing about it is, who was smoking it? African Americans. You'll never get me to believe there wasn't a racial aspect to put marijuana as a level one drug. I just think it was there. So I wanted to play a song for you from the guy who supposedly invented jazz, and again, brilliant, brilliant talent. How did he get it? Well, according to his own grandmother, he's playing the devil's music, so the devil must be granting him the ability. That always drives me crazy, that idea that the devil's letting you do it.
Right.
Or that you were born to do it. Tiger Woods was born to play golf, completely ignoring the 10 million times he hit that ball off that tee.
You think the devil had nothing to do with it?
I think the devil was sitting back going, I can't believe how good this kid is. This is Jelly Roll Morton. This was his show-off piece. This is called Finger Breaker on Rock School. Coming into the bottom of the hour, we're talking Sam Smith and how people got all upset that he performed a satanic ritual on stage at the Grammys. However, there was no such thing. It's the use of the words devil, ritual, scary things, because somebody's afraid that a societal change is going to take place, and they don't like that. So what's the quickest thing you do? You bring the devil into it. If you think about someone who sold their soul to the devil, I'm gonna guess you don't think of Paganini, you don't think of Jelly Roll Morton. My guess is you think of the king of the Delta blues, Robert Johnson.
Right.
Here's the only concern. Robert Johnson never once is recorded. It's not in any story about him, not, except after his death. But it's never said that he sold his soul to the devil. You know who did?
Mm-mm.
Tommy Johnson. You know that movie? I mentioned it earlier, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yeah.
And they pick up the guy along the side of the road that said he sold his soul to the devil.
Yes.
Calls himself Tommy Johnson.
Right.
I heard people say, well, that's based on Robert Johnson. No, it's not. It's based on Tommy Johnson, who said, as often as he could, and to as many people would listen to him, that he sold his soul with the devil. He even has a quote that he uses about a guy coming up and taking his guitar and tuning it, and there he sold his soul to the devil.
Ooh.
And you say, well, why would he do that? Why do people go see Black Sabbath, Slayer, that's all the devil's music. Is it really? Let's go see what it looks like. I think it had something to do with tickets.
All right, sales.
My name is Joe Burns. You are?
Tammy Burns.
All right, let's do 7 days and 70 seconds. Here be the dates. February 20th all the way through February 26th. You got Monday, Tammy. Go.
February 20th, 1991, Public Enemy skipped the Grammys because the rap award isn't televised. Sinead O'Connor skipped because the Grammys are so materialistic.
February 21st, 1977, Neil Diamond plays a night at the Greek Theater. It'll be recorded and become his album, Live at the Greek.
February 22nd, 1989, Jethro Tull, he won the first Grammy for Best Hard Rock Metal Performance, beating out Metallica.
Yeah, it's one of the worst things that the Grammys have ever done. February 23rd, 1993, Little Richard receives a Lifetime Achievement Grammy Award.
February 24, 1976, the Eagles' Greatest Hits, 71 through 75, hits platinum. It's the first album to do so since the award for selling a million copies was created the year before.
February 25, 1999, Prince sues 9 websites like it's 1999, becoming the first artist to rebel against the MP3 phenomenon. And February 26, 1985, Bruce Springsteen finally takes home a Grammy for Dancing in the Dark. And that wraps up 7 days and 70 seconds. Okay, let's get back to the devil. Tommy Johnson is the one that said he sold his soul to the devil. What?
Where is the devil?
Where is the devil? This is the funny thing. This is not my line. I took it from someone, and I can't think of the blues player's name. But somebody was interviewing me for a publication about selling your soul to the devil. And I did just what this guy did to the interviewer I saw. And he said, really? I said to him, really? How about you show me your soul? I want to see your soul. I want to see if it's worth $12.75. And I might throw in a chicken, you know? And the reporter looked at me and I said, what's the matter? You can't reach your soul right now? Where is it? Give me your soul. Let me see it. And he's like, I don't know. And I said, well, what do you know about selling it? Seriously, here is a card that I can't find. Give me $5,000 for it.
Oh.
I don't know. If you're interested, and I only say this because I researched it, there is a book called Blues and Evil. And in that book, a researcher named Michael Spencer states, if you want to sell your soul to the devil, here's how you do it. And don't get mad at me. You can't. You can't do it.
Can't what? Get mad at you or sell your soul?
Sell the soul.
Oh, okay.
Here's what he says to do. And by the way, this is from a New Orleans, quote, conjurer. I'm not sure what that means. First of all, cut your fingernails as close as you can get them, almost bleeding.
Done.
Then you got to get a black cat bone. And you say, where do I get one of those? We've got a veve shop? What do they call it down in the French Quarter? It's not a taboo shop. It's, anyway, they sell this kind of stuff.
You mean the witchery kind of place.
Right, yeah. And there it is. You can buy something called a black cat bone.
Okay, got it.
I have no idea if it's actually a black cat bone inside of the box. It could be a chicken bone, but I have no... Maybe it is.
Look, we got two out of the three. Keep going.
Okay. You also have to have what's known as a jund konkeru. That is a mojo bag. What you do is you find a bindweed root. Dig it up, dry it down. It gets to about the size of a quarter. You put it inside of a felt bag or burlap, whatever you can get, and stick it in your pocket. It's good luck.
Hey, you've got a purse. Could you put it in there?
I do. I have a man purse. Holds my computer. You then go to a crossroads at midnight, but you can't go to any crossroad. You have to look for what's known as a veve. And the veve normally has a cross on it. Really not a cross like a Christian cross, but just sort of like a tic-tac-toe board cross. And one of the items on the cross should be a crutch.
A crutch?
Why? Right. Because the person who supposedly comes for your soul, his name is Papa Legba, and he walks with a crutch. So you need that vey-vey. You can't just go to any crossroads. You can't go downtown where Elm crosses 3rd.
I know.
And expect to do
you
it.
You got to go to Mississippi where you have absolutely no phone service crossroad, right?
Entirely possible. You and I have been to supposedly the crossroads.
Oh, it was the crossroad.
It was in a place called Itabena, Mississippi. And you say, how did you find it? Well, you go up to Clarksdale, and you go to the Blues Museum. They have a map.
Take
you
a left,
right,
then a right, then another left.
I'd love to tell you I don't believe fully in all of this, but we went in the bright sunshine.
It was a great trip.
You sit there, you play, you dwell on the devil, and you keep thinking about what you would sell your soul for. You hear someone come up behind you. Once again, it ain't the devil. It's a guy named Papa Legba. He takes your guitar. He gives you his guitar, you play, and while you're playing, demons cut your fingernails and you bleed onto the neck of the guitar. You then swap guitars back, that's your pact, it's over, you've done it. Now you say, well, that's great, I'll do that. It's that old question you say to young people. Here is a shot. I'm going to give you this shot. Whatever you want to be, the greatest thing in the world, anything, you will be rich beyond your wildest dreams, but you'll be dead at 32.
Ooh.
The older you get, the more you go, I don't think so. But if you're 16, yes. It's an interesting dichotomy. I ask that of my students all the time. Okay, so what happens? Who's this Legba? Let's play a song. And we'll come back. We'll tell you supposedly what happens. Here's Robert Johnson on Rock School.
Every time I'm walking down the street, some pretty mama start breaking down with me, stop breaking. It's never got a budget brain, that baby. Woo-hoo, to make it lose your mind.
All right, coming into the second break, what happens? Okay, you've supposedly done this ritual, to use the word that people are. What's going on? What's with this Papa Legba guy? Well, this is the guy you never want to make a deal with because he's, quote, a trickster. So if you say, I want to be the greatest clarinetist in the world, he'll make you that, but then he'll give you emphysema. If you say you want to have sex with every gorgeous woman in the world, he'll say, okay, and then he'll take away your libido.
Ooh.
So that's the idea. So what was the joke with Robert Johnson? And again, Johnson never said he did it. Tommy Johnson did. Robert did not. The story goes that what Papa Legba said to him was, okay, you will be remembered and revered as the king of the Delta Blues. There will be nobody better. But you're going to die at 27. And not only will you die at 27, you'll die horribly at 27. And he did. He was playing at a place in Itabena, Mississippi, and somebody gave him a poisoned bottle of whiskey. He languished for 3 days at Honey Boy Edwards' sister's house in a part of Mississippi called Baptist Town. And at the end, supposedly he was on all fours barking like a dog before he died.
Not good.
But furthermore, and again, is that true? Good story. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But furthermore, he started something called the 27 Club. He died. Here are other people that are in the 27 Club. Brian Jones of the Stones, Blind Al Wilson of Canned Heat, Joplin, Jim Morrison, Jason Belvin, Earth Angel, Malcolm Hale of Spanky and Our Gang, Ronald Pigpen McKernan of the Grateful Dead, Roger Lee Durham of Bloodstone. I'm just jumping around here. Pete Ham of Badfinger, David Michael Zander, Alexander is his real name, but Zander's what he went by, of the Stooges, Gary Thane of Uriah Heep, Dennis D. Boons of the Minutemen, Kurt Cobain, Mia Zapata, and what's the girl's name? Amy Winehouse. Yeah, all died at 27. And the story is that Robert Johnson was the person who started it. Was he? I don't know, maybe, but really what I think you're dealing with here is post hoc ergo propter hoc. That's Latin, and it basically stands for because of this. You see this pencil?
Right.
This pencil keeps away the surviving members of Van Halen.
Oh.
So you've never seen them in my studio, have you?
No, I haven't.
Thank goodness for this pencil. Robert Johnson dies at 27. Or did he? We're not even sure what year he was born. We just know these other people, and by telling the story of the 27 Club, go look at those who died at 28. There's a club too. Go look at 26. There's a club too. Anyway, who is listening to us?
KSKQ, Ashland, Oregon.
Beautiful. Back in a minute here on Rock School. Hey, Rock School listener, believe it or not, I put out an album. Well, it's the fourth album, but the fact still remains I put out an album, and I'd like you to listen to it. Go to your favorite streaming service, I'm on all of them, and search Joe Burns, Tools of the Trade. Once again, Joe Burns, Tools of the Trade. It's 18 songs. It was produced in this studio right here. I play all the instruments. I sing all the parts. And I'd like you to listen. Once again, favorite streaming service, search Joe Burns, Tools of the Trade. Thanks. Out of the break, I think the greatest representation of what I'm talking about really doesn't have anything to do specifically with the devil. It's just the idea that if I don't understand it or I don't like it, it must be evil. Right?
Right.
Believe it or not, you know the song Louie Louie?
Yes.
Supposedly, Louie Louie has curse words in it. Look, it absolutely does not. It's a story of a sailor who's talking to a barkeep named Louie, and he's speaking in that backwards Jamaican, 3 days, 3 nights, me sailed the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's meant to be cute. Of course, a parent didn't understand what it said, because it was in this weird backwards speaking. So there's no way it was just interesting, like, abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, said the monkey to the chimp. Why didn't we throw that at the devil?
Right.
You know? But okay, fine. So she wrote to Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and said, we have to get rid of this filthy song. Well, instead of Kennedy saying, ma'am, go home and parent your child,
mm-hmm.
he takes it to the head of the FBI. And instead of the FBI saying, I'm really busy, get out of my office with this thing. That was J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah.
What Hoover did is he gave it to these guys and said, you guys here, go listen to this, go into that room and tell me what the lyrics are.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of those guys calling the Kingsmen and saying, hey, fellas, what's the lyrics to this song? Oh, no. They listened to it until they found what their boss wanted. There are three levels of lyrics, and they all have hellaciously dirty words in them when the song doesn't. What's really fun is if you're in a band and you're going to cover Louie Louie, sing the dirty lyrics.
Ooh, that's
what you do. So, Louie Louie here on Rock School. This whole hour has been because at the Grammys, this fella named Sam Smith and a person he's collaborating with, Kem Petras, did a song called Unholy. They turned the lights red. He wore plastic devil horns, which you get at some Halloween shop, and people danced around suggestively. Okay, fine. The whole world said that it was a satanic ritual. Was it? Well, not according to the magistrate of the Church of Satan. And if you're just tuning in, you might want to go listen to the first break because it really is the magistrate to the Church of Satan. If anything previous to this just embodies all of it, it's that backmasking thing in the 1980s where it was believed if you listened to hard rock or heavy metal songs backwards, you would hear Satan. It got so out of hand, honest to goodness, it was believed that there were messages from Satan on Ritz crackers.
I'm not kidding you. Now look, I'm going to play something backwards. It doesn't say what you think it says. In fact, I'm not even going to tell you what you supposedly think it means or what you're supposedly to hear. And the reason is, remember that thing that was, do you hear Yanni or do you hear Laurel? The only reason you heard either of them is because I asked you which one you heard. I suggested to you what you're supposed to do. It's
right.
A magician's trick.
Right.
So look, here is a little bit of Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, which is supposedly the Rosetta Stone of this. Here's a little bit of it forward, and then a little bit of it backwards. Here's forward. Okay, there you go. My guess is you know that. Now, according to these people that believe you can play things backwards, the line, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. That's the tip, to turn the record backwards. The thing, it's not easy to do.
Mm.
Remember you had to take and play it backwards by putting a pencil on
oh,
your
yeah.
record player
oh,
and
yes.
then you'd screw up your needle?
Oh, I messed up so many records.
What are you looking for the devil for when you should be looking for the Lord? That's from the Christian rock band Petra. I like that. Anyway, here it is backwards. Okay, did you hear something?
I couldn't even listen. I was so scared.
I just
shut my ears. I can't do this.
People believe that it says 666. But what you really have is a guitar going. But when you play it backwards, it goes. And it sounds like 666.
No.
Okay.
Well, less evil.
Very good. Thank you. That'll do it. Class is dismissed. Well, let an evil lie. So what do you say? But I'll hide from the devil on judgment day. I say, I'm a little fire, I'm old man. I'm a little fire, I'm old man. I'm a little fire, I'm old man down the line. Oh, yeah. Well, me and the devil sitting at a stoplight. He started rolling all us out of sight. I say, I'm a little fire, I'm old man. I'm a little fire, I'm old man. I'm a little fire,